Why did you run? A beat of silence. Another spill of fire. Another crack in my heart.
I thought you enjoyed hunting me down.
It's presented as a jest. But I see it for what it really is. A distraction.
Or was that a lie, Your Majesty?
No. Eloine used to hide in the jungle, her playful sounds echoing through the trees. I used to chase her. Catch her. Make love to her. This is different. I'm now certain she's hiding something, building her walls sky high. It's getting lonely on the other side. I stalk forward, look left and right, drawing deep breaths of the air laced with her scent, finding it stronger to the left. I've hunted your spirit for 123 phases, Rave. Forgive me if I'm a bit jaded.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly what I said, I grit out, charging through troves of mist. Exactly fucking that. Show yourself. Now, Rave, or I'll crumble these pillars, and you'll have nothing to hide behind. I pause, splaying my hand against one, a clash of robust words sitting in my chest like boulders. They may look like ice, but I assure you they're not. I could turn them to dust in a heartbeat. Though my voice is big, it's pitched with a desperate, hopeful plea. A beg. She's probably picturing me on my knees, and perhaps that should bother me. It doesn't. I'd spend eternity looking up at her if she'd only fucking let me.
Okay, she whispers.
So quiet. So loud. My heart hitches from a hook of hope, though I'm certain I heard her wrong. Okay.
Close your eyes first.
Four small words never felt so heavy. So crushing. They sit on my chest like mountains as I cast my stare to the sky for a long, agonized moment, looking at the moon almost directly above, watching the saber scythes blow their flames while they wrestle through the dim, wishing for a reality where she could be as vulnerable with me as I am with her. Her words from the cell a haunting echo in my ears.
Not until you turn around.
It's like watching Slatra fall apart all over again, feeling that crumbling grief inside my chest as the pieces scattered right when she was taking on such sturdy shape. But my hope is a flame that'll never blow out. Not when it comes to her. She could sink me to the bottom of the loft, and it'd still burn like a sun. Leaning back, I tip my head against the ice and squeeze. My eyes shut. They're closed for you, Rave. Small flapping things swarm through my chest while I wait. For better or for worse. Broken or whole. Wanting. Loving. I feel her presence before I hear her. The hairs on my arms lifting as her lips brush my temple. So feather light, I'm almost certain I imagined it. But then her hands are threading through my beard, tipping my head to the side. Her lips press against my neck, mining a gravelly sound from deep inside my chest. A kiss so real, I know it's not a dream. You're here, I murmur, a tremble rattling through me, like I just dislodged a ghost from my bones and set it free. Scrubbing some of the weight from my chest that was packed tight from phases and phases of dreams that felt so real. That never were. Another, I beg. The next kiss pressed to the spot just below my ear, my cheek, the corner of my mouth.
Where now?
She asks, her voice tentative, nervous even, like she's standing on unsteady ground. My lids. She used to kiss them when she thought I was asleep. Of all the things I've missed during the many phases I've lived, I've missed that the most. I hear her swallow before she leans so close her exhale tickles my lashes, her lips pressing upon my left lid, then my right, like a warm, pillowy gift from the creators themselves. My next breath is more unsteady than my knees. Another blow of flames warms my skin. She stills, and I hear her heart skip a beat, feeling mine mulch. Oh, she's hiding. I squeeze my eyes tighter, and she softens against me even before the flame snips off.
You're remarkably good at keeping your word, sire.
I'll take it to my grave, Moonbeam. I feel her cheeks swell in a smile, hearing the flame-throwing saber scythes scream off into the distance, wings beating into an echo.
Count to 10, she whispers against my neck. Then come find me beneath the moon.
What? My hand whips forward to thread around her waist and pull her close, only to tuck around my own abdomen. My stomach dips, eyes snapping open. I search both ways, but she's gone. Not even a swirl of mist to mark her retreat.
Moonbeam!
The name bangs off the walls like tossed boulders as my head cuts left and right.
You're not counting,
she chastises from afar, and I sigh, crunching my hands into fists, releasing them.
Are you doing it in your mind?
2, I grind out, shaking my head. 4, 6, 8.
You're a terrible counter.
10. I lunge forward, kicking through troves of mist. Sing me a song, Rave. Give me something to chase that's real.
Please.
Nothing while I stalk down path after path. But then her voice comes to me. A melody that weaves across my heart in silky notes that both slice and soothe. I pause, close my eyes, and absorb. Pulling my lungs full. Like her tone is a meal my soul just sat down to feast upon. There she is. I've heard folk speak of Rain's voice, of how it's so achingly beautiful it makes you want to weep, of how Claude makes you question your own sanity. I imagine Rave is a blend of both, sewing knots in my chest I treasure despite the agony they cause. With a single lyrical order, she could will me to the edge of a cliff. To jump. I charge through the maze like I'm following a map in my own mind, turning left then right, racing down a jagged path before turning right again. I come to a lofty ice pillar with an opening carved in one side, moving into the hollow and up a curled stairwell, every turn bringing me closer to her haunting melody. The same song she once sang to me while she cried outside Slatra's hutch. I burst onto the pillar's flattened top that's large enough to support a nesting moon plume directly beneath a luminous moon. Almost close enough to the aurora to touch the threads of light.
Lie with me.
I look down at Rave. On her back, her stare pinned to the moon overhead. Hair unraveled and cast around her in crimped waves. Her mask has been flung aside, her dress a scatter of ribbons mostly draped across the ice. less so against her pale skin, like she just fell from the sky and landed here. My heart aches at the sight. The thought. Clearing my throat, I lift my crown and set it on the stone beside her mask. Then do as she asked, placing myself beside her, arms at my sides as I study the moon, its appearance altered by the dome's distorting veil. Usually black and spiky. Now, silver and smooth.
I like this moon, she whispers,
followed by a lengthy pause.
It's the same color and size as the little wonky one I could see from my window back in Gore.
Same one on my back. I swallow. The silence between us growing its own mournful pulse. Do you want me to tell you why you like it?
No.
Of course not. Glimpsing movement to my right. I frown as she rolls atop me. With her back to my chest, she reaches down, grabs my arms, and weaves them around her body. Now bound in a hug she built for herself. I forget how to breathe. To blink. To fucking think. I close my eyes, speaking past the noose threatening to strangle me. This hurts, Rafe.
I don't want that,
she rasps, and her arms tighten their grip on mine, like a clenching comfort that fails to soothe the burn.
I wanted...
I know what you wanted, but I find no joy in pretending to have something we don't.
I can't do anything but pretend.
Because you lost someone? She stiffens in my arms. This time, I'm the one to tighten my hold, tempted to squeeze her until our bodies fuse. After a long pause, she finally whispers, almost too soft for me to hear.
Yes.
My heart splits, the knowledge of her devastating past sitting in my chest like a lump of lead, a cruel, burdening weight I loathe to pile atop whatever grief she's already carrying before she slips through my fingers again. But a necessary cruelty. She needs to be able to make a justified decision about her future based on the facts of reality. Not this smokescreen she's living behind. I thought I'd have more time to pick the right moment. Wait for her to grow curious and seek the answers out since the moon reveal went so fucking poorly. Now I see the truth. She senses the weight of her past, or she wouldn't be resorting to such extreme measures. She's poisoning her curiosity, refusing to let it sprout, meaning she'd rather be alone for eternity, alone and happily naive. Unfortunately for her, I have a responsibility I refuse to cower from.
I envy the dragons, Khan. They worship death so beautifully. We just lose, left with nothing but ghosts and memories that feel like wounds.
The throaty husk of her voice forces me to keep my eyes closed. Rafe doesn't break when she's being watched. She stuffs it all down, pretends it's not there. And right now, she's not pretending. At all.
Have you ever wished the dead could come back? Even for a fleeting moment so you could feel them in your arms? Tell them how much they meant to you.
Yes. For 100 phases, I looked upon Slatra's moon and wished for her to bring Elowin back to me. Begged the creators too. Just another dimpled smile. Another touch. Another kiss upon my lids. Anything. She releases a shuddered breath.
I'm not back. Not really. Much as I'd like to be. That.
Her. Eloise. Weaving her fingers through mine, she lifts my hand. I open my eyes. Watch her use our fingers to sketch the shape of the rounded graveyard hanging above us, tracing the slope of the moon plume's wings.
This moment is a gift we either waste or treasure, but I'm thankful for it either way. For the time I've spent here, I finally learned what it means to live. And I'll never forget that, Khan.
Every cell in my body stills as she pulls my hand down again, coaxes it into a cup, and nuzzles her face against it, just like she's done so many times before.
Never.
My composure snaps. I rip off my mask and tip her, catching the side of her face, dragging my thumb across her lips. Her breath stills, her eyes wide and glazed, cheeks wet with tears. There's such bold shock in her stare that I feel like I'm seeing the real her for the first time since she fell back into the world. Not just Eloise. Not just Rave. A beautiful, devastating blend of both. A pained groan grates up my throat, and I take her mouth in a crushing kiss, tasting tears on her lips as I finally jump off the cliff she sang me to the edge of.
Diary entry. Eloise Nevan. Age, 20 phases. 5,041 phases after stone. The stone is happy here, like Khan asked Baldur's permission before he hollowed out the cliff to make our space, as if Baldur gladly yielded. I love it. Being here, it feels like a small home away from home. Each slumber, we feast together before Khan plays for me and I sing to him of the shade, of the wind, water, ground, and flames, of my beautiful fallen family. Then he makes love to me on our large pallet carved by his own hands until we fall asleep in each other's arms. We're in a bubble. I know we are. The rest of the world doesn't matter here within our special place. It can't touch us here. Last slumber, Khan got on his knees, took his necklace off, and offered it to me. He called it his Melmer and told me he went all the way to Gondor to collect the scale of Ara, the great silver saber scythe, in order to craft the pale half. He said Ara had come to him in a dream, and he'd gotten the distinct message that if he couldn't secure a scale from her shed, he was undeserving of the love we shared, that he would not have the strength to face our biggest challenges that have not yet come to pass. But he got it. He survived. So I cling to this Melmer and the hope it serves, pouring my love into it, even when we're not tangled in the sheets of our pallet or within our special place. I cling to it, and I beg the creators to let us have this love with every beat of my heart. Most of all, I beg for them to keep Khan safe, living, breathing. I've lost so much already. The thought of losing him, too, it's buckling.
Rave. Chapter 77. A crackling sound nudges me from a sleep that slicks to my mind like oil. A sleep so deep and silent, my body feels like stone. I pry my way toward awareness, lulled by the patter of rain upon the glass stoppering the skyhole. Groaning, I nuzzle deeper into the calloused scoop of warmth cupping the side of my face, a dense weight draped over my waist that's comfortable. Familiar. Another crackling boom clefts the air, a flash of light igniting the backs of my lids. The weight moves, a hand sliding across my ribs, tucking me closer to a solid wall of breathing, pulse-pumping heat. He's still here. My eyes pop open, breath catching. I take in the domed room I've grown so fond of, the dragons carved all over the rounded walls barely visible in the dull, stormy light. A rumbled breath blows upon my ear, a shiver crawling from the base of my spine all the way to the tips of my toes as I settle into the conclusion that this is not a dream, nor is it a chest-squeezing memory. The immense presence pressed against my curved spine, the muscular legs tangled with mine, the hot breath upon my flesh. My heart labors. Real. All real. I draw my lungs full of air laced with the scent of cream and molten stone. Releasing a slow exhale, I think back through my drink-sodden memories, recalling our pillar-top kiss, a dusky scramble of moonlit dips and twirls, chest-aching laughter, the tangy taste of Moonplume's breath smacked upon my lips. I remember the rain hammering down, me gripping Khan's hand and tugging him along the esplanade, the shore, through the jungle and up a twirl of stairs. I remember him giving me privacy I didn't want as I dressed into my sleep shift. Remember climbing amongst the sheets, then ardently wishing for him to crawl in beside me and hug me until I fell asleep like he used to do with Elowen. Feeling my well-worn scrippy leverage yank from my chest like a flower ripped from its pot. Because drinks and laughter and love obviously turn me into a fucking idiot. It's an effort not to groan at the realization that I tossed my contingency wish out the window, just like I tossed that iron cuff into the loft after Khan picked it free. Hindsight, and all that. Though it's hard for me to find a true flare of regret beneath my ribs. Not with the memory of me drifting off while he ran his fingers through my hair, humming my calming tune. Although, my mind latches onto the vaguest wisp of memory, of his voice upon my ear as unconsciousness clawed at me. Something about a painful truth I need to know? Creators. Don't want that. Another flash of lightning floods the room full of static energy, raising the hairs on the backs of my arms. Khan groans, shifting, and I use the opportunity to churn in his hold until I'm facing him, breath stilling when I see his sleeping face. Instantly regretting it, realizing I should have just crawled out and left without looking back. His black hair is skewed, bun loose, tendrils strewn across his brow that I want to trail a line of kisses upon. I lift my hand, dancing my fingers over his shapely lips, pretending to touch them, pretending to thread my fingers through his beard, then brush his long black lashes. Sucker for punishment, my gaze travels farther down. He's shirtless, his body so bold in the flashing light, etching his rounded muscles into a work of art slashed in too many pale scars to count. Harshly chiseled. Raw. Beautiful. I think back to some of the memories I've been struck with since I almost died from that head injury at the crater, frowning. In not one of them was he so covered in scars. It's hard to imagine him surviving some of the wounds he's obviously endured in the time we've been apart. That stony organ in my chest squeezing at the thought of him curled on a cedar with a puncture in his gut. Stiff and lifeless. Pale. At the thought of waking beside him, holding him close to keep him warm. Only to find that he's not. That he's just as cold as our little snow cave. And that his eyes aren't closed at all. They're wide open, and they won't blink, no matter how hard I shake him, scream at him, beg him. Just like I begged Fallon. I can't do that. I can't lose somebody else. Exactly why I need to get the fuck out of here and leave. Now. I look at his lashes again, imagining myself leaning forward to kiss them both, soft and slow. Imagining my nose nuzzled into his neck, drawing my lungs full of his scent. Imagining myself pressing my forehead to his, telling him the three words I know Elowyn felt in every fiber of her being, planting a final kiss upon his cheek. Go, Rave. My heart throbs with an agonizing ache as I rip my gaze away, shift his arm to the side, and sit up. I drop inside myself and begin shucking the beautiful memory of all the warm, lustrous layers that could make me want to stay and live this past slumber again and again and again. Forever. Khan's arm lashes around my middle, snapping me back to the now. With a surge of might, I'm lugged against his chest, bound in his embrace. What?
The aurora's still in bloom.
He murmurs into the dip of my neck, his voice gravel laced with groggy wisps of sleep. Despite my frown, my body bows to the shape of him, like we were made to fit together, move together, fall together. You don't know that, I scoff, and another bolt of lightning ignites the room.
It is,
he says, settling around me like he intends to fall straight back to sleep.
You can't tell because of all the clouds.
I sigh. Sounds like a load of spangle shit to me. A perfect excuse to draw the pleasure out and put off the painful bit. But I've been doing that for the past who the heck knows how long, and all it's done is land me on this big, comfortable pallet with the male, nuzzling his hand. Indulging in a love I'll never be able to keep. It's cruel. I'm cruel. I have to go, Khan.
Bluntly aware of your intentions, Rave. But as I said before you fell asleep, we need to have a serious conversation first.
I go stone still, swearing internally. I'd hoped he'd forgotten. He lifts his face from my neck. Then tilts my head far enough that I'm looking up at him, crushed beneath the sizzle of his earnest stare.
We can either do that now, or we can keep pretending for a little while. The choice is yours.
I scowl. And if I don't want to have this talk you speak of? Ever? He shrugs.
Then you'll have to kill me on your way out of Dom. Simple as that. Otherwise, I'll be on your fucking heels for the rest of eternity until you decide you're ready to face your past.
I physically recoil, like he jabbed me with a shiv and marginally missed a vital organ. You're horrible. His smile is soft, gentle, even.
I'm a horrible male that loves you, Rave, that wants the best for you, even if it's not the best for me.
The smile falls, his eyes darkening as he pauses, like he's grappling with the words on his tongue.
There are others who would be affected by your sudden return. One in particular. You need to know the truth.
I open my mouth, close it, shafted by the hardness in his stare. The same hardness I saw in his eyes when he leapt down off Rygun's back at the crater in the Boltanic Plains. Whoever this other is, I'm half convinced he'd cut off a head for them. Meaning I'm not getting out of here without this talk. Especially since I threw away my leverage for a mid-slumber snuggle and a lullaby. Who am I? A dose of love from the past has tamed me into something soft, squishy, and stupid. I don't like this.
I know you don't,
he murmurs, reaching up to tuck a tendril of hair behind my clipped ear.
Growing pains are called pains for a reason.
Don't like that, either. I've had enough pain. A bit sick of it, actually.
So what's it to be? Moonbeam, are you in a listening mood?
Definitely not. A little more blissful make-believe with the male who's looking at me like I shaped the sky, versus a conversation about my prickly past that'll probably break more than it builds? Not even a competition. Tell me, I muse, falling back into our lustful illusion like falling through a cloud. What sort of things did we used to do in this room when we'd wake before the aurora rose? Khan softens around me, a husky sound building in his chest as his eyes blaze.
You haven't dreamt about us in this sleep space?
Yes. No. He quirks a brow.
Really? Because you said otherwise while you were four drinks deep, being thrown about the dance floor to a thumping jig in the Bogoth Dome.
My cheeks heat. Course I did. He threads his fingers through the strap of my sleepwear, edging it down my shoulder, planting kisses across my collarbone, tangling with my senses, loosening my body.
Tell me, rave.
Another soft kiss is planted on my neck. His next words rumbled against my ear.
How did I fuck you in your dreams?
Rave. Chapter 78. Warmth pools between my legs. I nibble my bottom lip as my mind tunnels toward the vivid memories I've seen. Lived. Memories of us tumbling between the sheets together, laughing, loving. Memories of him working my body into a precipice of pleasure that can only exist when hearts collide in synchrony with a passion-fueled clash. Something I never thought possible until I dreamt it. One of the reasons I found it so hard to go, while at the same time making me equally desperate to do just that, leaving me torn two ways, unable to move at all. And here we are. Me, like a charmed dragon struggling to rip from Khan's atmosphere. And him. Him. Fuck. To think I almost slit this male's throat rattles me to my marrow. Khan pulls the strap farther down my arm, freeing my aching breast, his thumb brushing the peak of my hardened nipple.
Did we play rough or gentle?
Another kiss on my neck as his fingers slide across the gathered silk of my black sleep shift, feathering over my navel.
Did I tease you until you were wet, shuddering and mindless, screaming for me to take you?
He nips my neck and I jolt. Yes, Khan, I've screamed for you in my dreams, woken with your name still hot on my lips, pulsing with the memory of your hand. Right where I need it now. I press my ass against his swelling shaft, putty for his touch skating over my hip, dipping lower, lower. A languid roll, and I lift my right leg, the hem of my shift slipping up my thighs. He gathers it a little farther, leaving me entirely bared.
Did I take you hard?
He coaxes, grazing his fingers along my seam, parting me, swirling around my throbbing entrance. Again. Again. Two fingers circle that sensitive nub of nerves while he kisses my neck, working me into a knot.
Was it deep and slow?
All of the above, I rasp, and a dense rumble rattles his chest as he pushes into my slick, fluttering core. Pleasure ripples through me, making me shudder. Another unhurried thrust, and I widen my legs, trailing my hand down his arm, just like I did in my dream, using my own fingers to press him deeper into my aching heat, grinding to the same famished rhythm. He nips the shell of my ear, then kisses it with devastating tenderness. I rock to a steady beat, keeping his hand between my thighs, coaxing my flesh to flush with a swollen warmth that's hungry, wet, wanting. Another kiss to the side of my neck casts a trail of tingles to my breasts, past my navel, down into my core. Oh, my fine ligaments twinge and tighten, and my body deepens its rolling ride, building my pleasure from the fill of his fingers. I tip my head in a quiet request for him to kiss my neck again, groaning when he laves at that tender stretch of skin with such voracious confidence, picturing his tongue doing the same thing elsewhere. Every nerve ending below my belly button begins to tingle, intensifying until I can't speak, can't think, can't breathe. Another lavishing kiss to my neck, and every muscle in my body clenches with fierce, greedy violence. My release rips through me like a rock slide, splashing me with wave after wave of explosive pleasure. He gently withdraws his fingers, and a moan bludgeons up my throat as he rubs my tender coil of nerves while peppering kisses around that spot beneath my ear, winding me up, unraveling me. I continue to pulse, Khan's low, satisfied growl shuddering through me, and I laugh, shaking my head, so high it feels like I'm dancing through the clouds. If only I could live in this imaginary existence forever. Things feel good here, wholesome and happy, free. He plants a kiss at the corner of my mouth, sending another zing straight between my thighs despite my ebbing release. My attention homes in on his hardness pressed against my backside, the muscles under my tongue tingling. I roll out of his arms, and his eyes flare as I reach for the clasp of his pants, popping the button, yanking them down. Tossing them aside, I straddle him, greedy gaze sweeping his body. He's a work of art, tangled amongst the silken sheets, his manhood resting against his belly, the tip almost meeting with his belly button. He reaches up, cupping my face, looking at me in the same way he did in that small, lopsided dwelling, like he'd catch a fallen moon for me. Only this time, it doesn't chafe, because we're shaping memories from silt, something that can be washed away with the next torrential downpour. I fall into that look like it's my salvation, nuzzling his hand, cupping it closer. He groans, brows bunching.
You're magnificent.
My heart skips a beat. The words, the look in his eyes, the way he's holding my face. I could revel in him for eternity and never stop marveling. More evidence that whatever pulled Elowen away hurt. I lift a brow, a pitiful effort to lighten the mood. You're biased, sire, and perhaps forgetting the fact that I almost hacked you open more than once.
No, I'm fucking obsessed,
he growls, wrapping his other hand around my face and jerking me forward. Our lips crush together, and I swallow his guttural sounds as I grind against his solid length, rekindling that ravenous throb. His fingers feather down my spine that curves into his touch, his firm hands gripping my hips, urging me to roll deeper, harder. Breaking our kiss, I pepper more down the column of his throat to the sound of his gravelly moans, savoring each languid press of my lips upon his skin like a sip of life. I plant more upon each of the scars on his chest, around the side of his ribs. I map the constellation of his pain with my mouth, imagining each slow, tender kiss absorbing a little of his violent history, moving down his abdominals, past his navel, taking his thick, hard cock in my hand. My mouth waters, core pulsing at how hard he is for me, how ready and wanting. My lashes flick up. I hold his volcanic stare and flatten my tongue against the velvety base, then drag it all the way to the tip, traversing a web of bulging veins. His hips buck as my tongue sweeps over the rim, lapping the salty bead of pre-cum dripping from the slit. He hisses, jerking. I wrap my lips around the swollen tip and drop low, opening my throat, taking him so deep I can't breathe, my hand still wrapped around the girthy base. Again, his body jerks as I pull back, keeping my lips tight until I pop off the top, flicking another glance up into his eyes. My pulse scatters at the way he's looking at me, like a male who's been living on air, on the verge of starvation, and is now seated before a feast for kings and queens. I smile, take him into my mouth again, slide up and down until he's taut and shuddering, hissing sharp breaths that fill me with liquid satisfaction, his hips rising to meet me, until he's so thick and firm, I'm certain he's about to... He fists my hair and gently tugs me back until he's free from my mouth, my neck stretched as he watches me with cutthroat intensity. Something in his stare has changed, braced with an assertion I don't understand. I frown, and it takes me a moment to register the thick tension in the room, that his energy has gone from warm and playful to hard and serious. Before I have time to untangle that thought, he loosens his hand and flips me onto my back, now kneeling between my spread legs, lording over me like a savage silhouette. The air stiffens. Why did you stop me? Another flash of lightning, and he grips my thighs, widening me so much there's no place for me to hide.
I've made a decision,
he growls, spreading his hand across my lower belly, the pad of his thumb circling my swollen clit in slow, ruinous circles. My hips buck, and I thread my fingers through my hair, strums of pleasure thrumming through me as he plays me like an instrument. Good for you. The fact that he can think at all right now is beyond me. Seriously, good for him. He sinks his fingers into me, curling them, rubbing at some deep, tender patch of nerves that strikes me with a bolt of knee-shaking rapture. I wail from the startling sensation. Fuck, what was that? He strokes that sensitive spot again, 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 winding me so tight I can hardly breathe.
You're not erasing me,
he rumbles, thumbing my clit faster. Faster. Not this again, I moan, but the words don't hold the punch I intend, his fingers working me so expertly my mind has withered into compost, the sort where bad decisions go to sprout.
I'll cut you a deal,
he spurs with a flash of his canines. Fuck your deals.
No, Rave, fuck yours,
he growls, pushing another finger in, stretching me.
I spent over 100 phases crushed beneath the weight of your death, wrecking myself, trying to shed the hurt from my heart. Do you know how much easier it would have been to simply remove you from my mind?
I groan as he pumps me full, my body singing for his ministrations, wet sounds filling the room.
But I didn't, because I'm not a fucking coward.
I snarl, arching up to snap my teeth at him, flopping back upon the pallet with a pleasure-filled groan as he pushes me full again.
I don't take you for a coward.
Stop talking! You're ruining it!
No.
Another thrust. Another.
You don't get to treat me like a secret this time,
he grinds out, strumming my clit with his thumb. My pleasure begins to peak, a mighty wave cresting.
I'm not your secret. I'm your truth.
He pulls his fingers free, dissolving the climax before it has the chance to curl over. I cry out, my sound turning into a needy whimper as I tuck my foot back to shove him in the chest for being a teasing asshole. He snatches my knee, then the other, pinning my spread legs to the pallet, his eyes shadowed embers glinting in the flashing storm.
I know you're a feral creature that likes to swipe at everything that moves into your atmosphere, but there are only so many hits I can take before I start swiping back. Once upon a time, I listened to you, let you push me away. Then you died. So no,
he growls,
I don't accept your deal, but I will offer you a new one that's favorable to all parties. Not just your own selfish whims.
I'm not selfish. He dips his head between my thighs, flattens his tongue against my throbbing entrance, and licks a hot line all the way up me. "Oh, you're good at that," I moan, bucking. He does it again, my fingers tangling with the hair at the back of his head as I rock my hips to his laving beat. Okay, I am a bit selfish. I press him closer, his tongue spearing into me. He lifts my hips, cranking my rapture to an entirely new level. My center begins to clench. He pulls back. I cry out, though my frustration sputters as he thrums my clit with his thumb again.
"Reach back and put your hands on the wall,"
he commands, such calm authority in his voice that I immediately obey, certain my compliance is going to earn me the orgasm he keeps dangling just out of reach. He tosses one of my legs up over his shoulder, grips the other, and spreads me wide. He fists his length, then thumps it against my swollen core. Again, again. I soften with each heavy thud to my tender clit, picturing him inside me, filling me, moving in me. Creators, this male. "What's the deal, asshole?"
"Yield, and I'll fuck you."
He flashes me a sharp smile that's all canines and feral delight, devastating me with more teasing thumps. My hips buck up to meet each one.
"Then I'll tell you."
"That's a shitty rule, creators," I grind out as he swirls the thick head of his cock around my entrance, dipping in the slightest amount, pulling out, swirling again. Maybe it's not such a shitty rule.
"You made the rules last Aurora Fall when you fucked me at that play table. You had me agree, knowing full well you planned to remove me with a wish up your sleeve to ensure you saw it done."
I really don't appreciate having a mirror shoved in my face while I'm edging toward an orgasm. "I hate you," I whimper, lifting my hips to meet the next heavy thump.
"No, you don't, Moonbeam. You love me. You're just too busy feasting on my heart to notice."
I would flinch from the barbed accusation if I weren't wound so fucking tight. Another luscious swirl binds me into a mewling knot, his next words snarled.
"Yield."
"Fuck you, asshole. I fucking yield." One hand grasps my thigh, the other threading up around the side of my face and cupping my cheek as he meets my eyes, challenging me. No, begging me to hold his blazing stare.
"Don't blink, Moonbeam."
"Please." "I won't," I rasp, all my welling frustration toward him popping into a honeyed cloud of chest-crushing need, of yearning to meet him on this bridge of connection that's so frail and uncertain, but exquisite, brimming with a magical, prickly warmth that makes me want to cry. My mouth falls open as he strikes his hips forward, claiming me in one swift lunge, my body tiding with the motion, crammed so deliciously full. He stills, hilt deep, our gazes caught in a clash that feels like a fissure in time and space. All I see is molten adoration, a fierce, untamable love so heavy it stomps me breathless. All I feel is him. He releases a shuddered exhale that reminds me to work my lungs, drawing a gulp of our tangled scents that might be the best smell in the world. His hand tightens around my face. Stare deepens.
"Tell me if it's too much."
I swallow, nod, then lift my pelvis to urge him on. With a guttural growl, he begins devastating my body with deep, rhythmic rolls of his hips that strike me with luscious bolts of rapture. I whimper, moving to match his ferocious pace, his body surging in muscle-clenching waves. We clash in a snarling beat until I'm cresting on a combustion that might just ruin me. His thick length swells, making me feel impossibly full as he moves his hand between us, fingers flattening against my lower belly. His thumb circles that slick, tender bud. Faster. Faster. My core clamps down, but trembles starting in the tips of my curling toes, traveling up my legs, into my sex, and along the line of my spine until I'm certain I'm going to split into 1,000 jagged pieces. I run my hands over his tensing arms, across his shoulders, my right palm pressing upon his heart that's ratcheting to the same gorging rhythm as my own.
"You feel that?"
he rumbles, setting his hand on top of mine and holding it over the thumping organ. His eyes take on a lighter shade that almost looks like reverence.
"You found us, Moonbeam."
I fissure, split, shatter. Every fiber in my lower belly goes tight and tingly, lit with a crippling surge of hot, hungry euphoria. My mouth pops open, short, sharp moans rending the air as I clench around him, pulsing with such ferocity my mind melts, lights flashing across my vision. I lose all sense of space and time, tumbling, landing somewhere within his gaze where I drown in the most gluttonous way. Khan's hand curls back around the side of my face, tightening. He roars, then snarls through gritted teeth, throbbing inside me, pouring me full of liquid warmth and a primal satisfaction that butters my muscles, my nerves. Everything loosens. My body lacks as he leans forward and nuzzles my head to the side, growling softly. He opens his mouth around my neck and gently bites. A nip that calls to my base instincts, has me wishing he'd dig his teeth a little deeper. "What did I just agree to?" I pant, melting beneath him. His nip turns into a kiss he plants below my ear, that spot I never knew was so sensitive.
"You're not erasing me, no matter how much our impending conversation hurts."
My breath catches, a chill slithering through my veins. He plants another kiss on my neck, as if to soothe the scathing wound he just left. Another on my jaw, the corner of my mouth.
"This is so much bigger than us, and you need to soften that heart, or you're going to break someone who's not attuned to being stabbed through the chest by your reluctance to build connections."
My body stills, every cell standing at stark attention. I've been told off before, but never like this. This chafes, ringing with a tune of truth that makes my frayed heartstrings coil and squirm. He grips both sides of my face, another flash of lightning filling the room with white light, his eyes volcanic as he says,
"This truth is going to hurt, and you're going to hate me for it. But there's someone out there who needs you, and you're going to change their life even more than you changed mine."
My heart fractures, the crack weaving so deep it hits the soft, fleshy center. I picture little Knee fluttering about, dancing the giddy swirls she danced whenever I lifted the lid on her box. Picture her nudging against me, nuzzling my neck, remembering all the times I gave her a belly rub, unfolded her delicate pleats, flattened her, read her. Need. My throat thickens so much I'm forced to swallow. I always thought that little parchment lark came to me by accident, but maybe she wasn't lost at all. Maybe she was exactly where she needed to be.
"So, Rave, you can swipe at me all you want. Pretend you don't love me as much as I love you. I can take more scars, despite how much they hurt. But you're not running away."
He plants a kiss on the tip of my nose, the tender motion so at odds with the hard edge of his words.
"That's what you just agreed to."
Diary entry. Elowen Nevan, age 20 phases, 5,041 phases after stone. K. King Ostern returned on his saber scythe, trailed by his two youngest sons, Kadok and Tyroth, both here for the Great Flirt celebration. It's the first I've seen the male I'm to bind with since the slumber I set foot in his pa's kingdom. Call me untrusting, but I took one of the dragonscale blades Khan had shown me how to forge and kept it close to my body, until the moment Tyroth corralled me in a hallway and tried to shove me into a darkened corner. Then I pressed it against his throat. He laughed, said his sister had been a bad influence on me. My response was that I felt her influence was quite the opposite. He told me I wasn't allowed to speak yet, so I told him he could eat dragon shit and that I hoped he choked on it. Wishful thinking. At feasting, I was made to sit beside him, donned in my veil, awkwardly eating the food that had been served for me like an animal. Hard, with a clothed mouth. Even harder when all the food I'd been given was either too rich or spicy for my palate and I wasn't allowed to speak, to ask for other things stacked farther down the table. Khan kept his stare firmly locked on Tyroth while I suffered in the silence expected of a princess unless she's either bound or given herself to the creators, like Veya. Speaking of which, Veya was strangely silent, closed off, eyes downcast, as she ate beside her nephew. I didn't understand why until her pa started pecking at her, harping on about all the ways she'd disappointed him. With each of his scalding words, she shriveled a little more, until he said he regretted the slumber he'd sown her in her ma's womb. A tear slid down her cheek, the first I'd ever seen her cry. I snapped. I ripped off my veil, climbed on the table, and charged to the other end. I slammed my fork through a pile of kolk meat that I'd been salivating over since the meal began. Then I proceeded to sit back in my chair, stuff my mouth full, and toss King Ostern a fake smile. The fuck? He glared at me as I chewed with my mouth wide open before plucking some blanched muji beans off Tyroth's plate, stating that I'm certain he didn't mind sharing with me since he was currently ruling my kingdom. He glared at me too, and I could see in his eyes that he was pushing down the urge to backhand me across the face for my bad behavior. Wish he had. I desperately wanted an excuse to slam my fork through his thigh. I was just sucking the meat juice off my fingers when King Ostern announced Khan and Veya would be leaving with Kadok and Tyroth after the Great Flirt so they could help rebuild a village torn apart by a rabid saber scythe. Everyone looked shocked except the king himself. Khan joined me in our home later and took me so slow and tenderly, speaking a million words through every touch, every kiss, every desperate, clutching embrace. I soaked in his presence until the aurora rose like a burst of silver ribbons woven across the entire sky, and we spent the Great Flirt tangled beneath the sheets in our quiet bubble of delusion and denial. In 30 cycles, I turned 21. Preparations have already begun for the binding ceremony in Erythia between myself and Tyroth. For my coronation. I think Khan and I both feel as if ignoring the future will prevent it from coming. If only that were true. Rave. Chapter 80. I stare at Khan's immense, beautifully tattooed back as he moves through the kitchen space, rinsing a bowl of berries, slicing a globe of copperdew melon into juicy segments that spritz the air with tangy sweetness. Every confident, fluid shift of his body reminds me how well he broke me down into a trembling, begging mess of corrupted thoughts and short-term decisions. Chewing the inside of my lip, I strum my fingers on the tabletop, stuck in this strange limbo, half drunk on lusty satiation while also welling with a ball of static energy that's flicking at my ribs, urging me to leap across the room and wrestle the male currently filling two bowls with a vibrant cacophony of freshly foraged fruit,
He wraps his fist around a gong nut and cracks it. Plucking the shell away from the pale insides, he then crumbles atop both servings. I shake my head. A fully stocked cupboard with a handful of options to break our fast, and the male knows exactly what to serve me. Not that I asked for a meal, or a spring water served in my favorite mug, or for my soul to be cradled while he was so deep inside me there was no place to hide. Yet here we are. Him, half naked, moving with the mirth of someone who just stepped off a battlefield, blood barely blotted from his skin before dashing a cloth over his shoulder and preparing food he personally foraged. And me, festering in the aftermath of our emotionally charged coupling, hair askew, mind mulched, trying to work out how I went from winning the most important game of Scrippy I've ever played to sitting at this table, wishless, boggled, and annoyingly aroused. Head tipping to the side, I watch Khan's perfect, muscular ass as he moves about the space, shucking a sprig of minty herbs he uses to garnish our bowls. Certain the brown leather pants he's wearing must cut off blood supply to areas that should always have a ready supply as far as I'm concerned. I sigh. The purpose of last slumber was to role-play something I'm incapable of maintaining long-term. I don't look at males wistfully and remember all the luscious things they did to my body, then want to do it again immediately after. I don't do relationships. I certainly don't do love. That word has a single definition: dangerous, potentially devastating inconvenience. Khan looks at me over his shoulder, brow bumped, strokes of black hair loose from his bun hanging over his eyes.
Are you ready to have our talk yet?
I flinch, like he just snapped his hand out and struck me. Thanks, but I'd rather skin myself with a blunt blade. He gives me a look that suggests he thinks I'm being a bit dramatic, but it trumps a conversation that makes me feel like my ribs are being snapped off one at a time.
Okay, well, you're obviously feeling things,
regrettably.
Do you want to fight or fuck about it?
He asks, his coarse accent cradling the question in such a visceral way that a flush of warmth hits my core. Squeezing my legs together, I sip my drink to wash down the impulsive desire to beg for the latter, reminding myself that his cock waged the war we now find ourselves maneuvering. I thump my mug back on the table. Haven't decided yet. He grunts, spinning, his eyes a rich shade of auburn in the low light struggling to filter through the skyhole. With both bowls cupped in his hands, he lumbers toward me like some great beast wrestled down into the confines of his muscular physique.
Well, while you think on that,
he says, setting both bowls on the table,
shall we enjoy a lovely meal together?
I look at my beautiful, colorful serve. It does look delicious. Too bad it comes with the bitter aftertaste of an impending conversation I absolutely, 1,000% do not want to have. There has to be a way out of this. I can't just live here for the rest of my life lavishing in good sex, freshly foraged cuisine, and crafty side quests. Something's itching at the back of my brain, telling me this perfect paradise will eventually burn, just like everything else. That death will slither up those stairs like a serpent and sink its teeth into somebody else who's lodged themselves within the clefts of my heart. I flash him a faux smile.
Sounds delightful.
Grunting, he pinches a berry from his bowl and tosses it in his mouth, then moves through the room, lifting one of the pre-ruined parchment squares from the shelf. He uses my quill and ink to scratch something on it, then folds the square into a wiggly lark he cradles in his cupped hands before releasing it out the window.
Who was that to?
Pyrok.
He settles into the seat opposite me, picks up a shard of copperdew melon, and bites into the crispy flesh.
There's only one mind weft in Dom, I believe you've already met him. I'm moving him to a safe house.
My heart stops. You're joking.
Joking.
His eyes flick up, slaying me.
Forgive me, Moonbeam, but there's nothing funny about it. You have a history of dipping out a side door the moment my back is turned, then winding up dead in the sky.
He offers me a forced smile that stings as much as I imagine mine did earlier.
I'm simply taking precautions.
I make a huffing sound and shove against the backrest, shaking my head. I liked you better when you were yielding to me. He shrugs.
And I liked you better when you were drunk with a smile on your face, singing to me, telling me you were only running because you couldn't bear the thought of watching me die.
I wince. Those drinks should have come with big, bold warning signs.
The great news is you're free to butter me up for eternity with those dimpled smiles because it's not your job to keep me safe,
he says, tossing another berry into his mouth.
Now eat your fruit.
He stands, taking his mug to the sink for replenishment while I simmer in my seat. I don't want my fruit, I snip as he drains half his mug in three deep gulps. He lowers it, brow lifting, his regard casting a molten trail down to my lips. Up again.
Then what?
Revenge.
For?
Bypassing my defenses like a fucking picklock. I ease the iron ring off my finger, welcoming Claude's mischievous giggle while I move around the table, slide his bowl aside, and plant my ass in its place. I lift both legs, setting one foot atop his chair, stretching the right toward the windowsill. The ball in Khan's throat rolls. I edge the hem of my shift into the crook between my hip and wide-open thighs, his blazing stare dropping to my naked core, plump and hot and wanting. Wet. I lick two fingers and part my swollen flesh, baring myself to him as I whisper a stubborn word beneath my breath, Claude's dialect gusting from my mouth like a flick of wind. Khan slams his mug down, striding two steps forward before he collides with a